Dynamite was in Winnipeg tonight, and AEW gave the fans some great news if you are in Canada with the announcement that this year's Forbidden Door pay-per-view, which we knew was coming up in June, we didn't know where, it was in Chicago last year. We got the news today that Forbidden Door 2 with AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be taking place in Toronto. They're going to be at the Scotiabank Arena on Sunday, June 25th. Forbidden Door in front of a hot Canadian crowd. That's going to be a lot of fun. Forbidden Door in Chicago last year. It was a hot crowd in Chicago, too. The people were going nuts for that show. Imagine a Forbidden Door show with wrestlers from both promotions in front of a Canadian crowd that is starved for shows like this. My only hope is that Will Ospreay will be able to make the show, because unfortunately Will Ospreay suffered a shoulder injury. As of Monday, he was having a match with Mark Davis of Aussie Open, and Ospreay suffered, I believe it was a right shoulder injury, I believe. So there's no word on how serious the injury is or how long he may be out for. Now, I know he's got a bunch of matches scheduled for WrestleMania weekend. I would imagine those matches now are in jeopardy. But depending on how serious the injury is, if it was something that might keep him out for an extended period of time, a number of months, could have an impact on his availability for Forbidden Door. It's still a few months down the road. Because I think there's a very good chance we could end up with a Kenny Omega-Will Ospreay rematch from Wrestle Kingdom this year on that card. You know, Will Ospreay was part of, in my opinion, the show-stealing match of the card last year. It was him and Orange Cassidy one-on-one. So that would suck if he couldn't be part of the show this year. But that's great news as far as Forbidden Door goes. But that will not be their only stop up north. The pay-per-view is part of a six-show Canadian tour, as announced today by AEW. They're going to be in Ontario, actually going to be in Hamilton, Ontario on June 28th. That's going to be a Dynamite Rampage taping. Wednesday, July 5th, they're going to have Dynamite and Rampage in Edmonton. Friday, July 14th. Actually, Wednesday, July 12th, they'll be in Saskatchewan. Maybe Brock Lesnar will. I'm sure he's a big AEW fan, right? He's a big Orange Cassidy guy. Maybe he'll be in the crowd that night. So they'll be in Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, on July 12th. July 14th is going to be Rampage in Regina, Saskatchewan. And then Saturday, July 15th, they're having one of their House Rules live events at the Saddle Dome in Calgary, Alberta. So this could be a prelude to an eventual European tour. I would imagine that we're probably not too far away from hearing about that. But all you Canadian fans, you're going to be getting some AEW coming up at the end of June into July. And for the televised events, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, because tonight's show was a lot of fun to watch, and the crowd had a lot to do with that. Tonight, we started with a bar mitzvah, and we ended with a cliffhanger in the main event, which was for the Trios Championships, the House of Black defending against the Elite and the Jericho Appreciation Society. We did have a little cliffhanger there for what I thought was an excellent episode of Dynamite. In front of a hot crowd in Winnipeg, you idiot. You gotta say it the way Jericho does. Three championship matches on the show, no title changes. I don't know that anybody really expected a title change. But really, outside of the TBS title match, I thought the action tonight ranged from good to great as far as the in-ring stuff. We got the tease of a major match coming soon. Don't know how soon, probably no sooner than May, but they certainly were teasing a major match coming up in the future involving the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club. And it looks like an old friend is going to be joining with the Elite. An old friend of Kenny and the Young Bucks, how they're going to get there, I guess that's part of the story, right? We have to let the story play out. But that is how they left us tonight. The lone segment on this show tonight that I did not like, can you guess? Was the segment involving QT Marshall, who had his first installment of QTV, which was his TMZ television style segment where they mocked Wardlow, who was not on the show tonight. They headlined the show. They main evented the show last week with the TNT Championship title change, with Powerhouse Hobbs beating Wardlow and winning his first title in AEW. There was no Wardlow tonight, and what they did in the follow-up with Powerhouse Hobbs was extremely lame. They had Powerhouse Hobbs playing background noise to QT Marshall and Aaron Solo and a bunch of other random people. That was how they chose to follow up his championship win on TV last week. So that was a very lame way, I thought, to follow up the TNT title situation. But everything else, for the most part, I pretty much liked everything else on the show tonight. I am the Solid Monster. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, March 15th. Dynamite opened tonight with the Bar Mitzvah boy, who was also the birthday boy. Today, for those who don't know, today was his birthday. The AEW World Champion, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Gotta have a Bar Mitzvah, you gotta do it the right way. Party here on the street. Where's Barry Horowitz at? Where is he? Where's Barry Horowitz at? I should have invited him to the party. He should be here too. He deserves to be here. Uncle Saudi is joining us. Look at this. We are bringing the world together. Uncle Saudi is joining us for the Bar Mitzvah here tonight. I didn't know if he would show up or not. I thought it was a little, a little bit. I didn't know if I should invite him or not. I didn't know how he would feel about that. Good to see Uncle Howdy here. Now, I thought that it would be appropriate, since we're talking about MJF having a re-bar mitzvah tonight, and he was going on and on and on social media, posting photos from his first bar mitzvah many years ago. He had a wrestling theme. He had WWE theme centerpieces. He had very attractive women on his arm for his bar mitzvah. Very, very cool stuff. But I wanted to show you, I wanted to share with you some exclusive video that I've never shared before. And I thought, you know, we're all family here, so I would share it here with my family on the stream. And I'd like for you to take a look. This, my friends, is a bar mitzvah. Young Max is not the only one to have a wrestling-themed party. As you can see, look at this guy. Look at this dapper young guy. Look at the beautiful lady behind him leading the conga line. This is fantastic. Look at this. This is a party right here. This is Solid Monster's Bar Mitzvah. Look at this. He's got the dance moves. Look at this guy. Look at her. How about this? And always with the microphone in hand. Take a look at this.
I like the signing board. I like the centerpieces and everything else. Good music and everything, so I appreciate it. And, you know, it's a great long party. I beat the crap out of my friend. So, you know, it was good. So, and we're still celebrating, so bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. A little insight into young Solid Monster's Bar Mitzvah from many years ago. MJF is not the only one who's got a wrestling theme as part of his Bar Mitzvah with some beautiful women around. Lest you all think that he's the only one who had that kind of party. And it's very interesting how many years I've been holding a microphone in my hand for. It's been holding a microphone in my hand or speaking into a microphone for a very long time. So let's talk about the MJF Bar Mitzvah here. I'll keep this on here for the duration of the Bar Mitzvah. By the way, how do I sound in that video compared to today, right? It sounds like two different people. That's New York. That's New York, Solid Monster. We got rid of that a long time ago. This is professional Solid Monster here. So MJF came out, and he had beautiful women escorting him to the ring, and he had balloons, and he had streamers. He said that he was here to celebrate his birthday as well, and under Judaism, the only religion that matters, so we are the chosen people. He goes, when a boy turns 13, he becomes a man, and he claimed that he lost his virginity at his first bar mitzvah. Tonight, it's his re-bar mitzvah. And a bunch of people, ran down to the ring with a chair, ceremonial chair, not a steel chair, but a ceremonial chair, to lift him up and down in the air. This is a custom. It's part of tradition. You put the person on the chair, and you lift them up in the air, and you bounce them up and down, and you scare them half to death. And it's always fun when you pick up the women, whether it's the mother, the grandmother, the aunt, whoever it may be, especially if they're older. You see the look of terror in their eyes as they pick them up in this chair and they bop them up and down. Always fun. So he was interrupted. They were having a grand old time, and he was interrupted by Jungle Boy, who came to the ring. And Jungle Boy got into the ring, and before Jungle Boy could even speak, before Jungle Boy could could even say anything, where are the Kanishas at, man? I ate them all. What do you think I had for dinner? Kanishas are gone, man. We had some mushroom barley. We had the Kanishas. We had the latkes. It's all gone, man. It's all gone. It's good shit. Chicken soup. Oh, you ever feeling sick? You want to get some Jewish chicken soup? Oh, you'll be healed in no time. Speaking of heals, Sammy Guevara came out. He interrupted Jungle Boy, and Sammy came to the ring. Darby Allin followed. Once I saw Sammy, I could see exactly where this is going. You knew who was coming out next. So, of course, it was Darby Allin, the original pillars of AEW. These were the young, original pillars of this company when AEW first started. MJF, Jungle Boy, Darby, Sammy. Now, others have popped up along the way. You could maybe say Wardlow, although we'll talk about Wardlow, but these were the original four. So they were all in the ring now. All four men were in the ring. MJF said they were ruining his party and he wanted to know what they wanted. And all of them at the same time said, a title match. Jungle Boy spoke first. He said that he and MJF went at it for the first time at Double or Nothing back in 2020. Daly's Place, the first pandemic show, there were no fans in the crowd. And they went out there and they had a 20-minute battle in the Florida heat. Eventually, Max cheated and he won. After that, he said their lives went in very different directions. MJF went on to have opportunities handed to him while Jungle Boy was wrestling on Dark. He said, Max doesn't know what it's like to be on Dark or Dark Elevation. He goes, he's never even been on Rampage before. Of course not. I wouldn't want to be on Rampage either. I don't blame him. He said everybody in that locker room is tired of seeing him come out and do the same hokey bullshit for the past 4 years. And to put a stop to that, he's going to take that title away from him. So MJF started to speak. Sammy Guevara immediately cut him off. And he threatened to turn his rebar mitzvah into a re-circumcision, which brought back terrible memories. He said MJF kissed ass and cheated to get to where he is. Sammy had to grind on the independents and work at Subway and Whataburger, any odd job that he could find, he goes. And then when he finally got to AEW, he was told that he was only supposed to be the Inner Circle's job guy. He said that he was the bump guy for Jericho. But he overcame that and became TNT champion 3 times. Unlike Max, he never had the machine pushing him. He got himself there. Sammy Guevara is going to be a world champion, he said. Because he's the best ever, and you know it. So MJF said that he's glad Sammy took time away from getting into locker room brawls with everybody in the back to come out here. Darby had heard enough of this shit, and he cut him off. He told everybody to shut up. It's time for him to speak. He said that he dropped out of film school to become a pro wrestler when his teacher wanted him to change stuff about the film that he made. Because the teacher went to Darby and said, you got to change a whole bunch of things about this film here. And Darby said that he would rather drop out of school than change a single thing about himself. And he goes, I dropped out of school and it was a blessing in disguise. So the message here, one of the takeaway messages of this promo, by the way, all you kids out there who might be listening, drop out of school and you may end up like Darby Allin. You may also end up in a wheelchair by the time you're 45. But Darby's doing pretty well for himself, actually, right? Didn't Bill Gates drop out of school? I think Bill Gates dropped out of school as well. A very inspirational message here from Darby Allin. But he said AEW gives him the opportunity to let him be himself. His biggest problem with the company are the grown-ass wrestlers in the back going on Twitter. And Darby did a very entertaining impression of all the wrestlers who go on Twitter and complain and bitch and moan about various things. And he was saying, I'm not happy. I want out of my contract. If actually, you know what I should do? I will do the impression that Darby did here during this promo.
I'm not happy. I want out of my contract. Tony Khan is not giving me what I want, damn it. I should be the world champion. I should be booked. I'm not booked. Wah, wah, wah.
So that was Darby impersonating the talent behind the scenes in AEW. And then he said he lumps MJF in there as well. All this business about the bidding war of 2024, he was mocking him for that. He said AEW means more to him than it ever did to MJF. That's why he should be the champion. And if MJF doesn't give him a title match, he's just going to go complain about it on Twitter. And he said, no, actually, I'm not going to do that. Because I'm going to beat you in the face with my skateboard and I'm going to give you a headlock takeover, which is a callback to their previous match. The Shockmaster, who made an appearance on the television show tonight, by the way, but he's in our live chat. The Shockmaster says, FTR bald, LOL. He may or may not have been referring to Dax. I don't know. There's a lot of people who have complained and bitched and moaned on social media when it comes to their push or lack thereof. So he could have been referring to any number of people, right? Where's Miro? Miro was complaining for a while. We haven't heard from Miro in a while. I don't know what's going on with Miro. Maybe he's turned into a monk and he is traveling to various monasteries around the world. Maybe he's become a monk. Maybe he's become one of these mimes on a street corner somewhere. I don't know what he's been up to. MJF said that Jungle Boy had Christian at one point. Sammy Guevara has Chris Jericho. Darby has Sting. And he has nobody, because unlike them, he never had to be enrolled in AEW Daddy Daycare. So he's been ready since day one. And the crowd started a Wardlow chant, a very faint, but you could hear it, a Wardlow chant, which MJF did not acknowledge. Poor Wardlow. Poor Wardlow. MJF said the four of them are the pillars of AEW, but he's the only one who can actually keep this place up. He's beaten every one of them in singles competition. And you think you deserve a shot at my world title? Nah. You don't deserve to sniff the Triple B. And he insulted Darby. He called him an incel. He called Jack a jungle jobber. Told Sammy he should propose to another woman. Sammy shot back and pointed out that MJF's fiance just left him. So MJF told him, he goes, you're going to leave my party because none of you were invited. And I'm going to go eat my cake because I deserve it. And Jungle Boy nailed MJF from behind. Sammy then nailed Jungle Boy. They started brawling. MJF was on the apron. He got bumped off the apron, and he landed right on the table with the giant birthday cake on it. So MJF wanted his cake. He got his cake. This was a hot segment to open the show. The people love this. The people love this segment. I thought this was a fun segment, and it looks like they may be setting up for a four-way. They could potentially be setting up for a four-way main event at Double or Nothing for the AEW World Championship. You know, we've been wondering who's next in line for MJF. I thought it would be Hangman after he beat Jon Moxley at Revolution. I foolishly, very naively thought, well, the Texas Deathmatch, surely this has to be the end of Hangman and Jon Moxley. Boy, was I wrong. So apparently that's going to continue. That leaves MJF with no obvious challenger for his championship. So doing a four-way would make sense, and I think it would be an excellent match. And also, it would be refreshing. It would be refreshing to see a big pay-per-view main event like that. All four men, AEW originals, young, homegrown pillars of the company. No Jon Moxley, no Bryan Danielson, or any kind of established veteran or former champion, somebody who's already held the title before, that would be pretty cool. I think to see all four of them in the same ring going for the championship, even though I think MJF and Darby, there is a story there to be told one-on-one down the road, either the end of the year, beginning of next year. I would like to see Darby and MJF one-on-one. I don't think that's what this is going to be, but down the line, that absolutely should be a program for the AEW World title. And Darby is one of the few I would consider to take that championship off of MJF. Him, Ricky Starks, I'd throw Wardlow in there, but I mean, who knows what's going to be with him a year from now? Who knows what's going to be with him 3 months from now, let alone a year from now? He should be in that conversation. If he's not in that conversation 6 to 12 months from now, there's something wrong, especially with his history that he has with MJF. But, you know, with Darby, though, the last time we saw him, he lost the TNT Championship. And Sammy Guevara hasn't exactly done a whole hell of a lot recently to warrant a shot at the World Championship. Jungle Boy, at least, he buried Christian 10 days ago, so at least he has that going for him. The other guys really haven't done much recently, but if history is any indicator, if that is where this is going, look at all the past MJF feuds. What does he have people doing? He has them jumping through hoops to earn the right to challenge him, and so this may end up working out the same way. But I like this. I thought this was a fun opening segment. They showed footage earlier of Chris Jericho being honored. He was honored by the mayor of Winnipeg and the street that he grew up on. He was born in New York, but he was raised in Winnipeg, and the street that he grew up on was named after him, Chris Jericho Way. So we had footage of that. We had Jon Moxley, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta representing the Blackpool Combat Club, taking on Hangman Page, Evil Uno, and Canada's own Stu Grayson. We had the Super Smash Brothers back together, Uno and Grayson, back together for one night only. Although after his performance here, I would think that probably should change. Stu Grayson, he adds a fire. He adds that little spark to the Dark Order that I think is sorely lacking from the group. And, you know, they couldn't come to terms some time ago, so he left. And they brought him back once or twice. It's not like they're on bad terms or anything like that. But Grayson is very good. Very good. We had Uno and Grayson in a number of months ago in House of Glory, challenging for the Tag Team Championship, as a matter of fact, against the Briscoes. And again, very, very good match. And Grayson was awesome here in this match. He ran wild with a spinning DDT on Claudio, followed that with a twisting moonsault for two. Yuta low bridged Grayson out of the ring, and the Combat Club hit a triple spike pile driver on the floor heading into the commercial break. Moxley and Page went face to face for the first time since Revolution. They started slugging it out. Moxley took the referee for the distraction, and Wheeler Yuta clocked Hangman Page with the ring bell. And that took out Page for the duration of the match here. We didn't see him again. Uno hit a paradigm shift on Jon Moxley. Uno and Grayson hit their double team fatality finish on Moxley. Yuta broke up the pin, though. Grayson got caught with a pop-up uppercut by Claudio into the rear naked choke by Moxley, who choked him out for the win. And Moxley then transitioned into the bulldog choke after the bell. So the Combat Club, they beat up Uno after the match was over. Claudio wrecked him with a running forearm, or a running uppercut, I should say. Hangman was still down outside. We did not see Hangman Page, so he must have still been down outside the ring from that bell shot. Alex Reynolds and John Silver ran out to chase off Moxley, Claudio, and Yuta, who left through the crowd. This was an excellent trios match. Further cements the Blackpool Combat Club and their heel tendencies, which we are seeing more and more of each week. And the most surprising part, honestly, of this match, John Moxley did not bleed. We got no blood from Jon Moxley on this show, or in this match. Shocking. But I thought it was a bit ridiculous that Hangman Page gets hit with the ring bell, and he is down for the rest of the match, when you consider all of the punishment that he took in that Texas Death Match that would not put him down. All the weapons, right, we had bricks involved in the match, and think of all the insanity and weaponry that was used in that match. Couldn't keep this guy down. But one shot with the ring bell, we didn't see him again for the next 5 to 10 minutes. So that was a little ridiculous. We got a Juice Robinson video package talking about his attack last week on Ricky Starks, targeting his surgically repaired neck. He told Ricky he's not going to do diddly squat about it. And then later on, Tony Schiavone was interviewing Ricky Starks in the back, and Ricky said the Juice is part of the Bullet Club. That was relevant in 2013. He said, this is 2023. You need to stand up on your own two feet. If it's an issue with him that Juice has, then bring it. He said, if it's an issue you want to bring to me with the Bullet Club, bring it on anytime, any place. We had the TBS Championship Open Challenge with Jade Cargill, the undefeated Jade Cargill, defending her title against a whack-ass Canadian. That's what she said last week. She opened the challenge up to any Canadian, any whack-ass Canadian who wanted to step up and challenge her for her TBS title. Already in the ring, I'm waiting, right? I want to see who's coming out, who's coming down the aisle. Jade comes to the ring, and we see that her opponent is already in the ring. No fanfare, no entrance on television. Obviously, she had an entrance in front of the live crowd, and she's from Canada, so I'm sure she got a nice reaction. But the opponent is already standing in the ring. Nicole Matthews. Now, this is the same Nicole Matthews that got caught using a travel visa instead of a work visa to book some independent shots. And she got banned from working in the U.S. for 5 years. Very similar to Speedball Mike Bailey. I don't know if the visa issue was exactly the same. But he was banned from the U.S. for 5 years. And now Speedball, I mean, you see him everywhere. He's all over the place, and he's fantastic, but 5 years, can't make a living in this country. So that's what happened to her. She just popped up at a show the other day, I think 6 months earlier than people expected her to be back, but that happened in 2018, so she is officially now back and allowed to work in the U.S. But she's a 17-year veteran. Didn't take much longer than about 17 seconds for Jade to put her down. It took one pump kick and the Jaded, and that was it. And Jade Cargill retained. They did not give this woman anything. You would think, hey, they're in her home country, right? She's a vet. She's been around for a while. They built this up all week. They didn't give her nothing. She didn't get one move in on Jade. But it wasn't about Nicole Matthews. It was about the post-match. We had another Canadian getting into the ring, Renee. Renee was here to answer the open challenge. Now, Renee was here to interview Jade in the ring. And Renee asked her what kind of competition she's looking for. And Jade looked at her and said, aren't you Canadian? And as she said this, she backed Renee up into the corner. Finally, Renee left the ring. And Jade asked, she goes, is that all you got, Canada? Is this the best you got? And that brought out Taya Valkyrie. The one name I said last week when she first said that she wanted a Canadian to come out to accept the challenge, I said, Taya. It's the first name that came to mind. Taya just wrapped up with Impact. I didn't even know that at the time. Found out a couple days later that she had just wrapped up with Impact Wrestling. Now, she is still the MLW Women's Featherweight Champion. So I am not sure if she is signed to an actual deal with AEW. If she's not signed, I'm almost positive she'll end up signing. But I don't know what the situation is with MLW and her MLW title, if she's going to still be defending it, if they're going to vacate it, I don't know. But she's all wrapped up with Impact. So she comes out, got a very nice response from the crowd. She is from, where is she from? Is she from, is it Vancouver that Ty is from? I think they said Vancouver. So she gets in the ring, and she goes nose to nose with Jade, and Jade decides better of it, so she goes to leave. As she's going to leave, her one lone baddie that she has left, Layla Gray, hit Taya from behind. Taya then picked her up and gave her the Jaded. Jade's old move. Her own move. I couldn't see Taya going right back to WWE after the way that they used her when she was in NXT. It really wasn't that long ago, right? It was in the last couple of years. They didn't do anything with her. She never really had a chance to do much of anything when she was there as Frankie Monet. Never got a call up to the main roster. And so I couldn't see her just waltzing back in, unless the money was so great, waltzing back into WWE. If she was a free agent, I expected that AEW would be the likely destination, you know, the likely landing spot for her. If she is signed, or if they're going to sign her, I think that's a very good pickup, a very strong pickup for the AEW women's division. I don't think she's going to be the one to beat Jade and end the streak. But I do think it gives Jade, finally, for the first time in forever, a credible challenger to work with. And somebody who could probably give her one of the better matches that she's had. And so Taya is going to make her in-ring debut on Rampage this Friday. We got our first edition. Now, this to me was the low point of the show. Is she All Elite? She got the graphic. Okay, I'm being told she's got the graphic. So it is official. It is official. Taya is All Elite, which is not a surprise to me at all. That is a very strong pickup for the women's division. But this was the low point of the show for me. We got our first edition of QTV with QT Marshall standing in an office talking to people like Harvey Levin does on TMZ TV. If you've ever watched TMZ television, my condolences. Or if you've ever flipped past it, it's Harvey Levin in their newsroom, in their office, with a bunch of people who work for him, who work for TMZ. And they're discussing what are the stories of the day? What are you covering today? What are you covering? What's the big news of today? So that's what this was. Basically, the format was modeled off of TMZ. Powerhouse Hobbs, the brand new TNT champion, was sitting there at a cubicle in an office chair, listening to QT Marshall, who was the Harvey Levin of this segment. No comment. I don't know what QT Marshall does behind the scenes. I certainly hope he's no Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Levin. But Powerhouse Hobbs is just sitting there. He's sitting there chilling. He's got his title in his lap. He's just sitting there. And QT is asking them questions. Aaron Solo is there. You see RJ City is in the background, just standing around. There was a woman. I didn't know who it was at first. I believe it was Harley Cameron is her name. She's wrestled on Dark before. I think that's who that was. So they made fun of Wardlow. That was the point of the segment, was to mock Wardlow and make fun of him. They showed footage of them breaking into Wardlow's car last week with Aaron Solo stealing Wardlow's TNT championship. So apparently the whole thing was just an angle. Unless it was real and they just turned it into an angle, which is always possible, I will assume that this whole thing was an angle from the start. So we had Harley asking, what's next for Wardlow? And Aaron Solo said, whatever was next for Batista, only not as good. Oh, wow. Yeah, funny. So QT said, nothing is next, because that idiot left his passport in his car, and I guess he won't be needing this, and he had the passport, and he chucked it aside. So he goes, hey, Hobbs, what do you say? And Hobbs stood up. Finally, he speaks. Hobbs stood up, he looked in the camera, and he said, Wardlow, welcome to Will's world, bitch. And when they came back, Excalibur said the Powerhouse would be defending the TNT title on Rampage this Friday in what else? An open challenge. What else is new? Every company doing open challenges at the same time. We have the TBS title open challenge. We now have the TNT title open challenge with Ward with the Hobbs after having it with Darby. So that's apparently the new gimmick for the TNT title. We have an ongoing open challenge in NXT for the North American Championship. So we have and we've had it on SmackDown with the SmackDown Women's title in recent times. Laziness is astounding to me. Instead of coming up with stories for individual people, we'll just do the open challenge. We'll do the revolving door gimmick for all of our champions. Like, I'm fine with doing an open challenge, but do we really need 2, 3, 4 of them all at the same time? I don't know. To me, that's just lazy. But later in the show, Rey Fénix accepted the challenge, so it's going to be Powerhouse Hobbs against Rey Fénix on Rampage this Friday. I didn't like this. I didn't like this because Powerhouse Hobbs was a total afterthought. He came off to me as a complete afterthought. He looked like he didn't even want to be there. He wanted to be anywhere but there. I get that they're saving his match for Rampage this week instead of having him wrestle on Dynamite, so he'll be in action on Friday, and I'm sure the match with Rey Fénix will be very good. But I didn't like him just sitting there silent while the AEW B team just sat around with QT Marshall cracking jokes. It's almost like, why does he even need these people? Hobbs is a bigger star than all of them. So why exactly does Powerhouse Hobbs need to hang around with Aaron Solo and RJ City? And there was some other guy there. I have no fucking idea who it even was. Some random guy. Why does he need them? What does he need them for? This was more of the QT Marshall show than it was the Powerhouse Hobbs show. And I hope that's not going to be the case going forward. So this was just one segment, but this was my least favorite thing on the entire show. We had our first defense of the new AEW International Championship with Orange Cassidy defending against Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Cassidy bumped knuckles with somebody dressed as the Shockmaster in the crowd. He even had the glitter helmet. I don't know if it was Fred Ottman in the costume or not, but it was a hell of a Shockmaster outfit or cosplay. So they had a new belt that Cassidy swapped on his way down to the ring. The belt does not look radically different. Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's got flags in the middle of it. To me, it doesn't look radically different than the All-Atlantic Championship. It's a nice-looking belt, but not terribly different. But Tony Khan had the belt made months ago. This was not kind of an impulse thing or something where the network came to him 2 weeks ago and said, hey, we want you to tie it in with Shazam. Because that was the whole point of this, right? The whole thing was, we're leveling up. We're going to level up the championship. So they leveled up by just changing the name. That was the belt looks a little bit different. The name is different. So they leveled up. Okay, fine. Whatever makes the network happy, I guess. It's the same old situation. So Jarrett zoned in on the bad leg from last week. If you remember, he hit Cassidy in the leg with his guitar. So he was focusing on the injured leg. He was mocking Cassidy's weak kicks, which I thought was amusing. Jarrett applied a sharpshooter for easy heat in Canada. Cassidy reversed into an awful-looking sharpshooter of his own. It was pretty bad. Sanjay Dutt and Satnam Singh, they were causing all kinds of distractions. They were interfering at will here in this match. Cassidy got sent into Bryce Remsburg face first, and so the referee got bumped. Sanjay slid the guitar into the ring, and here comes Aubrey Edwards, power walking her way down to the ring. I'm surprised they don't give her entrance music at this point. Even I have entrance music now. I have entrance music in House of Glory. I'm surprised Aubrey doesn't get her own theme song. What should Aubrey's theme song be? We should all come together and try to figure it out. So she comes down to the ring. She pulls the guitar away, and she and Jarrett are verbally getting into it again, and Jarrett is restraining himself and doing everything in his power not to put his hands on her. Satnam Singh pulled the guitar away from Orange Cassidy, who then tapped Aubrey on the shoulder to get her attention so she could see that this man had a weapon in his hand as Cassidy did the fake injury spot and dropped down to his back. Aubrey saw Singh with the guitar. She ejected him and Sanjay, and Aubrey then left. For some reason, Aubrey left. Bryce Remsburg got back up, but he was blind. He was holding his eye. Couldn't see out of his eye. For some reason, Aubrey decided now would be a good time to leave. So she went and left the ringside area. Meanwhile, we had a blind referee. So Jay Lethal has the Golden Globe Award, and he gets into the ring, and he clobbers Cassidy with it. Cassidy, though, ended up kicking out when Jarrett went for the pin, so we got a close near fall. Trent Beretta ran out to fight off Jay Lethal. Jarrett tried for the stroke. Cassidy avoided it, and he managed to hit the orange punch and got the pin to retain his championship. This was as overbooked as any classic Jeff Jarrett TNA main event from back in the day. And if you watch those Jarrett main events on those pay-per-views, you know exactly what I'm talking about. A lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of outside interference and the guitar and just, you know, all that nonsense. But the crowd was eating up everything Cassidy was doing. They loved Orange Cassidy, and they were having fun with this. And Jarrett knows how to get heat. So his job was to go in there to get heat and to get beat by Orange Cassidy. He went in there. That's exactly what he did. He did his job. I could have gone without all of the interference, which I thought was just done to the point of absurdity. But this was fine. This was fun for what it was. I didn't hate this match. Not my favorite thing on the show, but I thought what they did here was good. So Orange Cassidy continues to roll. I don't know. I've lost track of how many wins in a row that is. I don't know if they mentioned it on television. It's got to be double digits at this point. He's been on this hot streak of wins. That's why I made the comment last week when I was talking about the TNT title and the booking of the TNT championship from like Wardlow onward. This title, whatever they want to call it, the All-Atlantic title, the International title, the McDonald's title, whatever they want to call it, the Mountain Dew Pitch Black title, you know, this guy has been defending it on television more than the TNT title has been defended. And he's been having, for the most part, good to very good matches and fun matches on television that the crowds are into. And he's got this hot streak going. This championship now feels more valuable. It feels like a little bit of a bigger deal than the TNT title does, and that shouldn't be. The TNT title at one point was being contested by, you know, big names in this company, and it was being treated like something special. And hopefully the TNT title at some point can get back to that. But, you know, if QT Marshall is going to be the basically the de facto TNT champion. It's like Powerhouse Hobbs looked like he was holding the title for QT in that segment. Like, QT was the champion. He was holding court, and Hobbs was kind of like his muscle just sitting there keeping it warm. That shouldn't be. Now, with Forbidden Door coming up, reason I bring up Orange Cassidy, you know, we got Forbidden Door coming up now, June 25th, in Toronto, and I think that would be a good time for him to drop that title. It's the international championship. You now have an international pay-per-view between two companies involved, one of which is New Japan Pro Wrestling. If ever there was a time, I think, to really take that championship global, that would be a great place to do it. And the only question is, who does Orange Cassidy drop the belt to? I was thinking, you know, Cassidy and Naito could be a fun match. Cassidy and Naito or Cassidy and Shingo, either one of those matches. And you can have him drop the championship to a New Japan star and let them defend it for a little while. In Japan, maybe in other places, and truly make the title international. He's had the title long enough where I think that would be a good place for him to drop it and just to, you know, change it up a little bit, let somebody else carry it for a while and defend it outside the company. We had the Outcasts out to the ring next. Saraya, Toni Storm, and Ruby Soho. That is what they are calling themselves now, which is better than the Outsiders, so the Outcasts is fine. Ruby started with a story. Once upon a time, she said the grass was greener here in AEW until a couple of bitches came along and pissed all over that grass. God, I hate when that happens. She asked Saraya, what do we do with bitches that aren't housebroken? And Saraya said, we show them that this is our house. She said that without them, there wouldn't be a women's division. She called herself the Miracle. Fans booed. And this may have been my favorite part of the entire show. Saraya says that she would expect nothing less from a bunch of neckbeard stinky twats. That's exactly what she said. There was no TBS censoring or anything. She said that the fans are a bunch of neckbeard stinky twats. And I think I might use that insult going forward. I think that might be my go-to insult in life. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, or if I'm about to pull into a parking spot in a parking lot and somebody kind of cuts me off and pulls into my parking spot, I'll drive up right next to them, roll down the window, and I'll call them a neckbeard stinky twat, and I'll roll up my window and drive away. I think that might be what I do. Toni Storm then said that when she became a champion, and then she stopped herself, she had to correct herself. She says, an interim champion. When I became an interim champion, she wore it with a smile on her face, and none of the fans appreciated her at all. But our current champion beat her, and she says, you people loved it. And then she realized none of the fans know what they want, so they're here to give them what they need, which is change in this women's division. According to Soraya, she got fined for that line. I would imagine so. I was shocked they didn't bleep it. I was like, wow. Okay. I was actually quite stunned that they didn't. Because you know how they are. I mean, they do this on WWE also when the fans start chanting, you know, holy shit. Every 5 seconds, right, you get they either mute the sound or they play some white noise in the background. I'm like, how did that line get through? But they mute the crowd when they chant holy shit too loud. So it makes sense if she got fined for it, but I still think that might be my go-to insult if somebody cuts me off in traffic. I think I'm going to stick with that. So Toni Storm says that we're not going anywhere. We're having too much fun going through all of the entitled rookies. She mentions Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale, who had an excellent match, by the way. I know not everybody is watching this new Ring of Honor. I've been sticking with it so far, 2 episodes in. This week will be episode 3. Some very good wrestling on there as they're starting to develop actual stories. They're going to have to because they have Super Card of Honor at the end of the month. There's a great main event for the women's title last week with Athena and Willow. If you didn't see it, I don't know if you have the means to do so, unless you're an Honor Club member, but see if you can find that match, because that was a very, very good match. But they mentioned Sky Blue, Willow, Riho, Dr. Britt Baker, and your favorite, the champion, Jamie Hayter. And as soon as they mentioned Jamie Hayter's name, Hayter's music played, and she and Britt Baker sprinted down to the ring. They started working over the Outcasts until the Destination Unknown kick took down Britt Baker. Storm Zero took down Jamie Hayter. And then Riho's music hit. And Riho ran out to the ring with a pipe, with Willow and Sky Blue right behind her, and they cleared the ring. I don't know what happened to Shida. What happened to Hikaru Shida? Did she go back to Japan for a while, or what? Or is she on the other shows? That would make even less sense, because she should be part of this. Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, given the segments on television right around the time Soraya and Toni Storm started showing those heel tendencies, right? They were throwing shade at Shida. What happened to Shida? Where is she? Did she get hurt? I don't know. She should be part of this here. My only gripe is still the spray paint stuff. You know, Soraya came out, they had the spray paint can. I still think it's very lame. They need to ditch that. But since adding Ruby to the group at Revolution, we have gotten some explanations from her and Toni tonight that make sense as far as why their characters would be behaving in this way, why they would feel underappreciated or unappreciated by the fans in AEW. What they're saying makes a lot of sense. So I like that aspect of it. And as far as this Riho thing, I just wanted to mention this real quick. There was some controversy this past week involving Riho, because apparently Riho deactivated her Twitter account. Now, I don't know if Riho indicated the reason why she did that. I think people just kind of assumed, based on comments Kenny Omega's made in the past about Riho and some of the other Joshi wrestlers, who do take a lot of verbal abuse on social media to the point where it's just, it's bizarre. How much abuse they take and some of the shit that people say to them. So I think people may have just assumed that had something to do with it. I don't know if it did or not, but it got a lot of people talking, got a lot of people very concerned. And I know that she popped back up on, might have been Instagram, and she posted a comment the other day and said, man, I didn't realize, you know, I have all this love from so many people. Now, all I can say is, if this woman was chased off of social media by people who were sending her death threats and just saying horrible things to her, you are a fucking terrible piece of human garbage. I don't know what else to say. I mean, you are a terrible, terrible human being. I don't know what would possess somebody even if you feel a certain way about a wrestler that you see on TV, right? There are wrestlers I like. There are wrestlers I don't like, and I'll make fun of them, and we'll talk about them on the podcast. I don't go on Twitter. I don't go on Instagram and tag them to make sure that they see, and I want them to know, hey, buddy, you suck, you know? And then I tweet it out to them so to make sure that they see it. I don't understand what possesses a person to do that. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. It never has. And some of the abuse is just really to the point of perverse. So if that is what chased Riho off of social media, hopefully she realizes that as vocal as those people might be, they are a vocal minority. And those people are idiots. And they are easily blocked and not to be paid any attention to. And yes, as people are saying in the chat, apparently they have learned nothing from the Hanakamura situation, which I knew they would. You know, when the Hanakamura suicide took place, and that had to do with a lot of abuse that she was getting about, you know, the reality show that she was on. I don't think it was directly tied into wrestling. But we talked about that at the time, and I said, boy, I'd like to think that this is a wake-up call for people as far as how they behave on social media and the things they say to people. But, yeah, you knew it wouldn't be. It was only a matter of time before, you know, people started doing the same shit. They never really stopped. But it's just very sad, you know, the way people conduct themselves on social media, because the majority of those people would not act that way if you confronted them face to face. They really would. A lot of those people would not say those things to that person if they had the chance to face to face. But they feel like behind a keyboard or behind their, you know, their phone or whatever it may be, they have a lot of courage. And so they can go and they can say these things. And all it does, I think, is just make them look very small. So it's sad, but hopefully Riho is doing okay. The main event was a three-way for the AEW World Trios Championship, with the House of Black defending against the Elite and the Jericho Appreciation Society. Monster reaction, as you would expect, for Kenny Omega coming out in his hometown. Chris Jericho, big reaction. They all sang his song. It was an electric atmosphere. It was a big-time atmosphere for this main event. You knew you had to get Jericho and Omega on this show in some way. Being in Winnipeg, how are they not on the show? We had Jericho and Malakai Black in the ring early, and before anything could happen, Omega tagged himself in. And he went right up to Jericho nose-to-nose, and the people went nuts until the entire House of Black got into the ring and attacked them, and huge brawl broke out. And that led into the picture-in-picture break. There was a spot where Omega had Buddy Matthews in the ropes, and he was setting up for the V-trigger. As he came off the ropes, though, Jericho caught him, scooped him up legs first, turned him over, put him in the walls, until the Young Bucks delivered double super kicks to break the hold. Later on, Omega and Jericho worked together to drop Buddy, or not Buddy, but Brody. Buddy. Easily confused. So they worked together to drop Brody King with a superplex. But then Jericho dropped Omega with a codebreaker. He covered him. Kenny kicked out. They then randomly cut to the back. In the middle of this match here, in the middle of this main event, they randomly cut to the back where we saw the Blackpool Combat Club brawling with Hangman Page, Alex Reynolds, and John Silver. And Excalibur said that Evil Uno and Stu Grayson had been taken to the hospital. They had gone to the hospital earlier. So they were not around to help their friends out. So then they cut back to the main event. It's like, okay. So now we're back to the trios match here. Sammy Guevara, that was in a split screen. Now we're back to full screen. Sammy Guevara caught Matt Jackson with the Shooting Star Press. Daniel Garcia covered. Brody King, though, broke up the pit. There was a running cannonball to Sammy in one corner. Running cannonball to Garcia in the other corner. Jericho climbed inside to take them on one-on-three when the House of Black basically took the carcasses of the JAS members and threw them into the corner. And Jericho, not one to back down, all of a sudden he's a tough guy. He gets in the ring and they overwhelm him. They swarm him one-on-three. Brody spiked Jericho on his head with Dante's Inferno, had the match won. Omega, though, reached through the ropes and broke up the pin. Jericho got Floyd the bat. He bashed Brody in the face with it. Aubrey didn't see it, because of course not. He covered him. Brody still kicked out. Even after a baseball bat shot to the face, he still kicked out. Jericho was lining up for the Judas effect. Malachi Black, though, caught him with the black mass and knocked him out of the ring. Brody King then finished off Daniel Garcia with Dante's Inferno to retain the titles for the House of Black, even though I'm pretty sure Daniel Garcia was not the legal man. And I will have to go back and watch this again, but I am almost positive that Daniel Garcia was not the legal man. We've already established the rules don't matter in this company. The rules do not matter in AEW. You could put your opponent through a flaming table outside the ring wrapped in barbed wire with thumbtacks and spikes underneath. And as long as that person gets back into the ring before the count of 10, you're good. It's all good. You think it matters who the legal man is in this match? Of course not. But it was funny because as soon as Brody got the three count, that crowd died. The air got sucked right out of that crowd as soon as the three count hit. Because you had the two Winnipeg guys in the match and neither of them won. Right? You have a trios match. One team has one guy from Winnipeg. The other team has another guy from Winnipeg, right? All right, two out of three. You got a pretty good chance, right, of coming out of this with one of them winning. Nope, neither of them won. Which is good, by the way, because to take the titles off the House of Black so soon would have been idiotic. But the crowd was not happy about that. So now we see Jake Hager coming down to the ring. He's wearing his stupid purple bucket hat, and he comes walking down to the ring. He gets swarmed by the House of Black. Meanwhile, while that's going on and they're beating him up in the ring, you look up on stage and the brawl from the back has now spilled out into the arena. We have Moxley, we have Claudio, we have Wheeler, there's Hangman, Reynolds, Silver. So now they're brawling back out into the arena. Hangman Page ends up in the ring and he's all by himself standing in the ring, and here comes the Blackpool Combat Club. Climb up onto the apron. What Hangman did not see is that some buddies have joined him in the ring. They're standing behind him, right? And the crowd comes alive. It's Omega. It's Matt Jackson. It's Nick Jackson. Hangman has his back turned, though. He doesn't see this. And so the members of the Blackpool Combat Club, they climb down. They retreat. And Hangman has this confused look on his face because, you know, it's 1-on-3. Why are these guys backing away? And before the reaction could be shown, before we could see Hangman's reaction, as he's about to turn around to see who's behind him, that's when the show went off the air. So we didn't get Hangman's reaction. I thought that was a nice little cliffhanger for the end of the show. They were running out of time, but I assume that was done by design, you know, not showing us his reaction and cutting it at that very moment. And it was a huge tease, though, for something else. It was a huge tease for a very big trios match. This was a huge tease for the Elite against the Blackpool Combat Club. The House of Black are still the trios champs, which is good. That's the good news. The bad news is I have a feeling that the champions are about to be relegated into the background, because now the biggest possible match that you could do, the biggest possible trios match you could do, would be the Elite against the Blackpool Combat Club. Neither of whom are the trios champions. So that's the bad news. I don't think that's going to bode so well for the House of Black. But now you have the added drama of, where does Hangman Page stand? What is he going to do now? He's had issues before. These men were his friends. They were his enemies, especially Omega. Where does he stand now, given his history with the Elite crew, right? That's the drama now around this whole story. What is he going to do? My guess is that this is setting the stage for our next Blood and Guts match. I have to assume that's where this is going. Blood and Guts, they've done it in May 2 years ago. Last year, I think they did it in, was it July? I think early July, maybe after Forbidden Door. So we don't know exactly when Blood and Guts is going to be. It could be at, yeah, usually it's on TV, but who knows? It could be at the pay-per-view in May. That's also possible. But they've done Anarchy in the Arena. I guess they could do that again. That got over very well the last time they did it. But that's where I think this is going. I think we're going to Blood and Guts. Brian Danielson, who has not been part of the Blackpool Combat Club for some time, returning, because that would make Danielson, Moxley, Claudio, and Yuta the roster for the BCC. And you've got Omega, the Bucks, trying to convince Hangman to join with them. And if he does, now you have 4-on-4. You've got four guys on one side and four guys on the other. I think in the past, the Blood and Guts matches have been 5-on-5. There's no rule that says it can't be 4-on-4. Although I will tell you, I would be down for just a very simple Canadian Stampede style, you know, 8-man tag without the Blood and Guts. I'd be okay with that too. And maybe they do that. Maybe that's the pay-per-view match, and then that leads into Blood and Guts on television, you know, in the weeks that follow. That's also possible. But what this also means is that the feud with Jon Moxley and Hangman Page is continuing. This feud is not over yet. Not even Texas Death could be the end of this rivalry between Jon Moxley and Hangman Page. Amazing. But if they do Blood and Guts, you know Jon Moxley is going to be part of it. I mean, if the match has the word blood in the name, you know he's going to be in that match. So that's where I think this is headed. I think this was an excellent show overall tonight, with a hot opening segment, hot main event with a cliffhanger ending. We had two good matches sandwiched in between. And we had the debut of Taya Valkyrie, who I think is going to be a very nice addition to that women's division. So I thought this was probably the best episode of Dynamite in many weeks. I enjoyed the show. And so did you. On Twitter right now, 72.5% thumbs up, with about 14% thumbs in the middle and 13.7% thumbs down. So I asked the question, how would you grade Dynamite from Winnipeg? And there it is, 72% thumbs up. Makes this an excellent show tonight. So you can go ahead and vote at Solomonster on Twitter. Now, if you're like me, you probably have routines in your life that you stick to, whatever they may be. Maybe it's hitting the gym at the same time every day or eating the same things every week, whatever they are. It can get boring after a while. What I have found is that the smallest changes to those routines can make the biggest impact. In that same way, you don't need to break the bank to make a purchase that ends up being a big deal. Even the smallest things can make for a big change if it's something you use every day. Like my Raycons. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point. I listen to music when I do cardio and the occasional podcast. This Solomonster guy I sometimes listen to is pretty good. But whether I'm on the elliptical at the gym or I'm taking a walk around the neighborhood, I need to have my Raycons in my ears if I want to get a good calorie burn going. My Raycon everyday earbuds have become an important part of my routine. And Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon also makes you feel good about what you're spending your money on. They offer buy now, pay later options, and every purchase has an easy and free return guarantee, so you've got nothing to lose. With my Raycons, I love their custom gel tips, which give me a comfortable in-ear fit, their noise isolation, which lets me block out outside noise. They're also water and sweat resistant, and I love that I can get 8 hours of playtime out of them on a single charge. There's a reason why they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. So ready to buy something small with a big impact? Go to buyraycon.com/solomonster today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/solomonster to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/solomonster and use the code Solomonster at checkout to get yourself 15% off. Now, let me go through your super chats here. See what you guys have to say about this show tonight and any other things you guys want to talk about. Thank you for the love. Thank you for all of the Gunthar love in particular. Very much appreciate it. We'll kick things off here with James Auburn, a $5 super chat. After his entrance, Jungle Boy got out one word before he was interrupted. Sammy got 3, Darby got 0. Pretty proportionate for mic ability. I actually thought this was one of Darby's best promos to me. I thought that Darby, who's not known to be a promo guy, I thought that Darby carried himself very well. I thought it was a strong night for him on the microphone. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor, $5 Super Chat. I have a change of heart now for Tony Storm and Soraya. Thanks to the addition of Ruby Soho, I am a fan of the Outcasts. Ruby brings the sauce. It's got a different vibe since Ruby joined. She had that strong promo the other week. Also says, Darby, Sammy, Jungle Boy, and MJF should all face each other in a ladder match at Double or Nothing. No fatal four-way. No one deserves to take a pinfall. I'd be okay with that. Shin Superkick Akuma, Raycons are amazing. Use the code SOLOMONSTER. Hey, Shin, thank you. Yeah, we've been doing some stuff with Raycon, and you guys can get Raycons, you can get a discount on them. Use our code, which is buyraycon.com/solomonster, and then use my name for the code at checkout and get your little discount. So, Shin, thank you. Ed Swoggle, cherish, buy, rent, or sell, four pillars of AEW. GWO, that's right, Ed Swoggle, GWO. Well, I mean, you gotta cherish MJF. I mean, come on. Cherish MJF. I'm going to buy on Darby. I'm going to rent on Jungle Boy. And I'm going to sell on Sam. Daniel Manuel. $5 Super Chat. A blood and guts match with the Elite in Hangman's Corner is infinitely better than the Dark Order being involved. God of Seduction, is this technically an AEW after party? Where is Tony Khan? I don't know. Tony's in the back room. He was doing something. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. I was hearing noises from the room, but I don't know. He had something on his desk. I couldn't see what it was. I don't know. All I know is he had some kind of package delivered from Miami. I didn't ask what it was. Lakers Pats 1, Omos Roman at WrestleMania 40 gives Rock Austin X7 vibes. Nick Grosso, I like the tease for the Elite against the BCC, but I think that this should be the Anarchy in the Arena match this year. Save the Blood and Guts match for the Outcasts against the Homegrown Girls. Well, if they're going to do a Blood and Guts with the women, they've got to do a better job of building that story up a little bit more. Yeah, they're on the right track, but they got to build that up a little bit better. And also, there's no rule saying you can't do a men's blood and guts and a women's blood and guts. I'm in favor, if they want to do that match, it's got to be an issue that warrants it. So if they can build that story up well enough and they can get some heat, you know, behind Willow and Riho, or if Sheeta comes back, or Sky Blue, whoever it is, that I'm for it, but right now I don't see the need for it. Anderson Blitz, if you can smell what The Rock is a bully, hashtag Brendan Fraser, hashtag Oscar. That was very cool that he won the award the other day. That was a very cool moment. Rizzo, good evening, Chad. My sympathies to you, Solo, and other Mets fans about Diaz getting hurt tonight. Yeah, I saw something right before. I have not seen what happened. All I saw was that apparently he suffered some kind of knee injury in the celebration after the World Baseball Classic game. I don't know. Hopefully it's nothing serious, but I saw that right before I went live. I said, I can't allow this to ruin the big bar mitzvah tonight, so I'm not going to think about it. I'll have to read up on that later. Fire Panda, on behalf of the chat, I ask our beautiful host, all-around jam-up guy, to use Racing Queen for WrestleMania. Probably not, but you get Racing Queen every week, so what are you worried about? Michael Darcy, sorry about Diaz, during a celebration too. Deontay Soigne with the $10 Super Chat. This crowd was hot. Show was fun. Love how several women were on the show tonight. Taya debut. Trios was fun. Love the show. Love to you, Solomonster, and always happy to see Sky Blue. Deontay, thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. Only the Mets would get injured during a celebration. Season hasn't even started yet, and we're already off to a roaring start. Drew Johnson with the $50 super chat. Solomon, sir, you're the man. Thank you for everything that you do. Drew, thank you very much. Glad to have you. Glad to have you here every single week. Fahad, congrats on 800 episodes. Fahad, thank you. I hope that you will be tuning in on Sunday and downloading the show. Eric the Sean, $20 super chat. If Gunther wins King of the Ring, I want to hear Booker T proclaim him as King Gunta. Then ramble on with Batista is down just for no reason. Well, Booker is on NXT, so we won't have to listen to that. So we don't have to worry about that. Downbed, thank you for the $4.99. How many more do we have until the goal? I think we're only about 25 likes away, so who will be lucky number 25, I wonder. Downbed, totally fine with Jeff Jarrett appearing on TV just so we can hear the My World theme. It is a pretty bitchin' theme. A TRG swag became a sound off legend. TRG, thank you. We have got Daniel Parker. Moxley did not bleed tonight. I think hell froze over. I was shocked that he didn't bleed tonight. Pleasantly surprised. Silver Tower is on a mission. I think Silver Tower is on a mission. We to hit the ultimate goal here, because we just passed a milestone. We have well over 500 members now of our GWO, and 600 would be incredible. We have a little ways to go, but I'll tell you what, a few more nights like this, and we just might get there. I guess we'll see. 27 at 27. $5. Boy, you're giving the Ultimate Warrior a workout tonight. Look at him on screen, man. He is working hard for those channel memberships. Here he is again. He's getting a workout. Look at the sweat flying off his body. 27 at 27 says FTR. Maybe CM FTR going to come out with the Oilers jersey in Edmonton like Brett in 97. Also, who is the second best pillar after MJF? What is the BM song? I don't know what he means. The BM song? Second best pillar? I mean, if we're talking about the four pillars that came out at the beginning of the show, Darby. I think it's MJF and Darby neck and neck. I mean, unless you want to say Britt Baker. I mean, she's obviously the biggest of the female pillars from the beginning of the company. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. Just curious to know if you were an ECW fan back when it existed. Me and my family kind of were. I remember as a boy here in Texas, ECW would come on at like 1 a.m. and we watched it sometimes. I was aware of it. I would watch it occasionally. I was not a fan of it when it first aired. I was not an ECW fan. Here in New York, it would come on at 3 o'clock in the morning on the MSG network. So it wasn't like it was airing in prime time on any of the local stations anyway. So at the time, I really wasn't a big fan. Oh, BM as in bar mitzvah. So what was the question? Let me go back there. Oh, the song I played right before I showed the video, the Hava Nagila. Never heard of Hava Nagila? H-A-V-A-N-A-G, I guess I-L-A. Yeah. It's a classic Jewish folk song. Very popular folk song. Gentle on James, what if Cody wins the WWE title and then shows up on the Dynamite after Mania, says that this belt doesn't mean shit to him, and throws it in the trash? If he does that, I will shave my head here on the street. It is not going to happen. Austin Runge, in a promo battle between MJF and LA Knight, who uses the word incel first? I would say LA Knight. That's usually his go-to insult. Sean D says, Waffle House Hobbs. Daniel Manuel, I've been listening to you for over 12 years. You're just now learning I had a bar mitzvah. Am I dumb, oblivious, or both? I wouldn't say you're dumb. I just sort of assumed that you would figure it out from the last name. Alexander Fitzgerald, who I believe is also a new channel member. Thank you, Alex. $10 super chat. It looks like the Outcasts were outnumbered. Do you see the Garcia twins joining the Outcasts to eventually take on Britt Baker, Hayter, Riho, Willow, and Sky Blue? I hope not. I don't think so. I believe Nikki Bella when she says that they're not joining AEW. Now, maybe I'm being naive. Taya Valkyrie did an interview a few days ago and was asked point blank if she was going to be in Canada on Wednesday, and she said, no, I'm going to be at my house in LA. And she ended up being in Canada. So, you never say never. I don't want to see it. I have no interest in seeing that. And I will talk about the Bella Twins on the podcast on Sunday, because the Bella Twins are no longer in WWE. The Bellas are no more. The Bellas are now back to being the Garcias. So I will talk about the Bella Twins on Sunday's show. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. I agree that I would be stunned if Taya came to WWE, but Triple H is in charge now, and maybe things are different. Well, you're forgetting one thing, though. Unless my timeline is off, Triple H was running NXT at the time that Taya was there. Now, maybe she was still there when the 2.0 relaunch happened. I think she was. And then it would have been Shawn Michaels, but Vince was not directly running NXT, so it's not as if she was on the main roster and Vince was, you know, not using her or giving her bad creative. She was in NXT, so there's really no excuse. It says, I feel bad for her, Saray, and Kushida. Got to NXT just before Vince tore it down. Yeah, the Saray thing, Saray got screwed over. You know, Saray had people that were in favor of her in management who got wiped out at the beginning of last year. It was not her fault. And the new people in charge just didn't have an interest in doing anything with her. Naughty Delicious, booking open challenges equals creativity bankruptcy. Yeah, I'm not against the idea of an open challenge. I'm against having multiple open challenges for multiple championships on multiple television shows. Rizzo, Ridge Holland is allegedly getting death threats also. Social media is a huge reason, in my opinion, why this world is in such bad shape. I saw that. Even Xavier Woods had to come to his defense on Twitter the other day. Because we just passed the one-year anniversary of Big E getting his neck broken. And his wrestling future is still very much up in the air. And so I guess people were going after Ridge Holland and calling him a racist and calling him all kinds of names and nasty things. Now, again, people have a lot of courage on social media until you pull up to their face. And things change very quickly. Gives people a lot of courage. Daniel Parker with the 1999. House of Black deserves more respect than what they were given tonight. They should be killing folks with the least amount trying possible. Doesn't matter if it's the Elite or the JAS, the House of Black are the ones to make the keepers of the throne. I disagree as far as tonight. They were in Winnipeg. Jericho was in there. Jericho's still a big name for them. Omega, still one of their biggest names. You're not going to have them go in there and get jobbed out with having very little offense. That's not what people paid to see. That's not what people tuned in to see. They tuned in to see a competitive, fun main event. So I think they gave the people what they wanted to see. Tonight was not the night for them to go in there. You know, like when Brody Lee went in there and killed Cody in 2 minutes on that episode of Dynamite, that was a shocking thing. But that's not what tonight was for. Tonight was not about putting them over in you know, a two-minute match. That would have been a mistake. So I will disagree with you. Corey Blake, rough Mets news tonight. Prayers to Edwin Diaz after his injury at the World Baseball Classic. Do we have any confirmation of what the injury is or how serious it is? I know he went down with a knee injury, but I don't know what the actual injury is. Kevin Velasquez. All Moxley matches are blood and God. That's true. You know what, Kevin? You make a very good point. Why does Moxley need to be in blood and guts when every single one of his matches are blood and guts? Except tonight. Tonight there was no blood. TRG Swag, buy or sell Prime NXT Black and Gold or Prime AEW Dynamite? Ooh, I gotta go Prime AEW Dynamite. But the Black and Gold was great. Oz and Glorious, is the Juice Starks feud going to lead to Jay White? I cannot stomach the idea of Jason Blanco, the New Zealander surfer gimmick in WWE. Well, you don't have to worry about that because they have Sol Ruka in NXT, and she's already doing a surfer gimmick, so I don't think they would want to do two surfer gimmicks at the same time. So I don't think it's going to be a surfer gimmick if he goes to WWE. Could it lead to Jay White? Yeah, it could. I still think he's going to go to WWE. And we just see him get kicked out of Bullet Club. So to me, if there's going to be a Bullet Club tie-in, that really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So I don't think it's Jay White. Fire Panda, do the Gunther voice, but do it like Prime Ricardo Rodriguez. I'm not going to do that. I don't think the neighbors would appreciate that at 12:08 a.m. So no, I am not going to do that. Let's save the Gunther voice. We don't want to abuse it. Let's save it. The Yatagaratsu. Yo Solo. What's the chance of Solomonster Gaming coming back for 2K23? Very good. I am planning on buying 2K23. I know it comes out Friday. I probably will not get to it until next week because I'm very busy going into the weekend. So, hoping that I can buy it on Monday and play it a little bit, and maybe we could start recording new Sound Off Gamers as early as next week. So, yeah, Sound Off Gamers should be coming back very soon. And then when AEW Fight Forever comes out in 2029, we'll do Sound Off Gamer for AEW as well. And by the way, if you are a channel member, you guys may get it first. You guys may get early access before everybody else does. Zachariah, do you think the reason the Mania 39 build has been sluggish is because last year everybody had low expectations and Mania 38 turned out to be pretty entertaining? And we are expecting a lot from Triple H, but still no excuse. No, I don't think so. I just think some of the stories have been sluggish. Some of the stories have been great. I like the way they've been building up the Intercontinental stuff with Gunther. I've been loving the Bloodline stuff. I think that's been pitch perfect. Even the Rey and Dominic stuff. It's been very slow, but I think the build has been good. The Rhea and Charlotte build has been not good. The build for Bianca and Asuka has been even worse than that. The two women's matches, I don't know what's going on. The build for those matches has been almost non-existent. It's been very, very lame and lacking. And they have a few weeks to try to turn that around, but I mean, it's not working for me. So I wouldn't say the entire card is... The build has been sluggish. It definitely has, though, for some of the matches. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor JAS means just another Sound Off. Yes. The Rock versus Sting, $9.99 Super Chat. You see Darby Allin on a good pace to being a future AWE champion. Or is there something else that needs to happen for him to reach that potential? I think Darby Allin could absolutely be an AWE champion, but in AEW, I also think he could be a champion in AEW. I just think he needs just a good story with a good opponent. And I think MJF would be the perfect opponent for him, you know, and there's history there with those two. It's not just the fact that they're the two pillars from the beginning of AEW, or two of the original pillars. They've wrestled before. You couldn't find two more polar opposite personalities, and I believe it's true what they say, that opposites attract. So there's so many reasons to think that would make for a good program for the world title between the two of them. But I just don't see that happening for, you know, many more months down the road, if they're going to do it one-on-one. Now, if they're going to do this four-way at Double or Nothing, then obviously they'll work together there. But, you know, when I pitched that idea of MJF being the one to retire Sting, you do title against career later on in the year, and then, you know, Sting is retired by MJF. He gets that one last big singles match, and it just segues right into Darby, you know, kind of trying to avenge Sting. And there it is. There's your built-in excuse to put the two of them back together. I like the idea of that story. I don't know if Sting wants to work a singles match ever again. He might not want to, or he may not feel safe doing that, but I would definitely consider that idea. Dick the Cock Johnson. Jarrett should have won and only defended the title in King of the Mountain matches. Rizzo. With the $10. I know I always give you ideas that require you to do even more work, but any chance of a live stream on Sunday to celebrate 800? My apologies if you roll your eyes when I suggest more work for you. I am not doing a live stream for 800, but we got plenty of live streams coming up, believe me. Plenty of live streams coming. But logistically, I thought about it, but logistically, it just wasn't going to work. So, believe me, there'll be many more milestones and many more special occasions where we will go live. Anniversaries. I never roll my eyes at you, Rizzo. You know that. Plus Ultra Adrian with the $10 super chat. Just saw Scream 6, great movie. If Cody doesn't win at Mania this year, who do you see dethroning Roman? If Cody does not dethrone Roman, I don't know. Don't know who's left. I know what, I just saw him in the chat. I know what Bliss fan is going to say. It's not going to be Bray Wyatt. I don't know. I think it has to be Cody. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. Worst bad ideas for Brock Lesnar versus Omos. I would be oversell, eat 15 burritos before the match. What? He says laxative in my drink. I think somebody else slipped something different into your drink. Darth Panic, do you think WWE has anything to do with Fight Forever being delayed by GCW? Didn't GCW and WWE have a working relationship in the past? No. That was a rumor. They do not have a working relationship. And no, WWE does not have anything to do with the video game possibly being delayed. Zero. They have zero to do with it. CMJ World. Would you ever be an on-air commissioner for WWE or AEW? And if so, what would be your first move? No, they would never. Why would they bring me in as a? Why do they need me as a commissioner? I am already a commissioner. So what do they need me for? WWE has Adam Pearce. He's running around all over the place on Raw and SmackDown. Right, so he's got that covered. And Tony Khan. Everyone knows Tony Khan is the president of AEW. He has something to say, we get the Tony Khan major announcement. I don't think Tony Khan is going to bring in, it's going to be Solomonster's major announcement. I've not gotten any offers yet, so I'm going to say no. But thank you for thinking of me. Maybe you put in a good word for me, I don't know, maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe they'll change their mind if you put a good word in for me. The goal tonight was 500, and we have officially surpassed 500. We are closing in on 520, so thank you for that. Always very much appreciate you guys liking the video. And let me see those Be the Booker emojis, because it is time. Oh boy, we have more Super Chats coming in. I was about to hit the button. I should read these first. Lovelie, was Hogan friends with the Outsiders before WCW? No, he was not. And Rizzo with the $10 Super Chat. The only way, in my opinion, that WWE can get these gambling companies to put the matches on their sites is if they cap it at a max bet of $20, like the UK has, or so I've heard. I don't get the sense that this whole gambling proposition is going to work out too well for WWE. Apparently, there's a lot of companies who just simply are not interested. They've been getting a lot of resistance in their discussions. So with any luck, this thing will die a death and we will not have to hear about this again, because I just think that is for a lot of different reasons, I think that is a disaster waiting to happen. So anyway, let me see him. Let me see those Be the Booker emojis, because it is time to be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Oh, yes. It is indeed time to be the Booker. You like that, Booker? I'm going to be the Booker here. We are going to kick things off with some singles action, one-on-one on the men's side. Look at these emojis. Look at all my channel members and their emojis here. It's a flood of Be the Booker emojis in the chat. We begin with Bully the Clown. Look at this. Our old pal Bully. When was the last time I don't think we've ever landed on Bully the Clown here in Be the Booker. Look at that big red nose. Look at that smile. Our old friend Bully the Clown. You know, usually I'm afraid of clowns, but this clown puts a smile on my face. Bully the Clown is going to go one-on-one with Logan Paul. Bully the Clown and Logan Paul. I think that is the first time. He's been in there for a while. There's actually quite a few people in there that have been in there for months, and we just have never actually landed on them. So, Bully the Clown and Logan Paul. Not my idea of a match that's going to sell too many tickets. So let's see if we can do better on the women's side. We begin with Ms. Jackie. Jacqueline. Don't hear about her too much. I think Jackie, is Jackie in the Hall of Fame? I think Jackie is in the Hall of Fame. Oh, Jacqueline. Very well known for a very infamous moment on one of those WWE UK-only pay-per-views. And if you were watching at that time, that is probably a moment that you will never forget. We have Jacqueline one-on-one with Natalya. Trying to book marquee matches here. That is not a marquee match. One last chance. One last chance to redeem ourselves. We begin with Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. Former AEW Tag Team Champion. Just saw them in the main event tonight, in fact, on Dynamite. All right. Very polarizing tag team. Going to get a lot of different opinions about the Young Bucks. You ask 10 different people, you'll probably get about 7 or 8 different answers. So who's it going to be? It's going to be the Young Bucks, two-on-two with the Head Shrinkers. I like that match. Oh, I miss those belts. Those are the classic WWF tag team belts. I miss those belts. Samu and Fatu. The original members of the Bloodline here. Head Shrinkers and Young Bucks, I think that is a marquee match. That would be a very good professional wrestling match. At least I think so. Obviously, the people who don't like the Young Bucks, they would disagree with me. But I'm here to tell you that you are wrong. That would be a very good match. We got one. It's the best I could do for you. We got one out of three. You know, one of the scariest bumps I've ever seen at WrestleMania 9 was the Steiner Brothers against the Head Shrinkers. And I want to say it was Samu who took a header. It wasn't Samu. It was Scott Steiner, I think. I think the Head Shrinkers pulled down the top rope. And I think it was Scott Steiner who took a header out of the ring and scared the shit out of me when I saw that for the first time. It looked like he was just headed first into the ground. That still stands out in my mind. And honestly, probably one of the better matches on that entire WrestleMania card. I can't remember now. I'm almost positive it was one of the Steiners, but it could have been one of the Head Shrinkers who took that bump. God of Seduction. Memorable be the booker. For me, MJF, Cena, Bray, and Sid. Are those ones that we've picked before? Or are you booking your own card here? And God of Seduction says, Jackie against Natty is money. Ask the audience, Solo. No, we're trying to book marquee matches here. That's not a marquee match. That's a match that you would put on Sunday Night Heat back in the day. I'm not booking Sunday Night Heat. I'm trying to book Monday Night Raw. And not Monday Night Raw today. I'm trying to book Monday Night Raw from 25 years ago. Naughty Delicious Chicken and Flavor, or with Flavor. The Good Son Scenario. Save one and let the other one go. Hulk Hogan or Kevin Nash? Are we doing today? Kevin Nash. Austin Tucker says, it is his birthday today. Happy birthday, Austin. I hope you have a fantastic day of birth. Fun match. The Head Shrinkers were very underrated. Yeah. They were a very good team. God, there was a Samoan Splash that Fatu hit. Think about this. They were having a match with a couple of job guys. This would have been back in 93, 94. And the jobber was on the floor outside the ring on those thin mats they used to have. And Fatu did a Samoan splash from the top rope all the way down to the floor. And when he used to come down, he came down like full force. He did that shit on the floor. I gotta go back and see where that clip is from. That looked brutal. Talking about knocking the wind out of the other guy. Head Shrinkers were a good team. Sean D, just watched WrestleMania 13, Bret against Stone Cold. It was good. It was good. It was great. One of the best matches in WrestleMania history. Joey in the chat says, are you happy for Data, the actor, winning last Sunday? You know, my brother told me that, and I just thought, you know, the guy from Star Trek? Because wasn't there a character on Star Trek called Data? I had no idea he was talking about Data from the Goonies, which was one of my favorite movies as a kid. I just thought he was talking about Star Trek. I'm like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't care. I didn't know who he was talking about. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate all the love tonight. Wish we could have done better and be the booker, but that's the random nature of it. You never know what you're going to get. So, we will try again on Friday. That'll be the next time I am with you live. It will be Friday night for the SmackDown stream. And, of course, episode 800. As I mentioned earlier, sound off episode 800 coming up on Sunday, covering all the news of the week. And I might have a fun little feature for you as well. I'm working on that right now. I'm going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed tonight. Be well. Stay safe. See you on the SmackDown stream on Friday night. Take care, guys.